There is a small section of the Bible commonly called the Beatitudes. Sounds quite religious. Beatitude isn't exactly a word you might use in everyday conversation. It literally means perfect happiness. The Beatitudes are found in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Could you use some more happiness in your life? Happiness is a slippery thing. Everyone's trying to grab it, but often it slips away. On Beyond Today, we're going to discuss finding happiness.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Of the strange achievements in the Guinness Book of World Records, Hetty Green's has to be the most tragic. She is listed as the world's greatest miser. Green was actually America's first woman business tycoon. But she was so downright unpleasant, she was known as the Witch of Wall Street. Hetty's lifestyle was so frugal that she shunned turning on heater using hot water. She wore the same black dress and underclothes until they wore out. Then she would buy a new black dress and underclothes. She worked out of a cramped space because she refused to pay rent. Her son actually lost a leg when she considered the needed operation too expensive. Now, when Hetty died in 1916, she was the world's wealthiest and possibly the most unhappy woman. You ever think, if I just had enough money, if I was just rich, I'd be happy? Is happiness defined by what we own or how much money you have in the bank? What is the source of happiness? Now, there is a way to happiness, and I can tell you something. It's not found in visualizing ticket numbers from the lottery, and like magic, money flows into your life. It's not found by trying to get other people to control all the time so you get your way. And it's sure not found in New Age ideas like The Secret. It's found in the Beatitudes. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of eight attitudes. Now, attitudes are approaches to life. And he says these eight attitudes are blessed. You see, when you choose these approaches to life, you will experience happiness. And these are the real secrets to happiness. You want to live a blessed life? Well, let's look at the first attitude or approach to life Jesus said would make you blessed. He says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, wait a minute. You know, you want to tell me how to be blessed. I need things. I need a new girlfriend. I need a new boyfriend. I need a new house. I need a new job. All those things that I'll find happiness. I need riches. I need to feel rich about myself. I need to feel good about myself. You seem to believe that happiness is getting what you want and just feeling good about yourself. Well, being poor in spirit, what Jesus says, being poor in spirit, doesn't mean you walk around feeling depressed and worthless. To be poor in spirit is to know your own, now listen to this, it's to know your own emotional and spiritual poverty without God in your life. You're poor in spirit, you see the Creator's greatness, and you feel your need for Him in your life. Now, I say you feel it. You know, we reason a need for God, but you must also feel your need for God. Jesus talks about this in Luke 18. Now, if you don't have a Bible, get one, so you can read along. It makes so much difference when you have a Bible and you actually read the words, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you can bring them into your life. Now, this we're going to go to Luke 18. We're going to start in verse 9. So Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, notice why he says this. He tells a story that teaches a lesson. Because these people thought they were righteous. They trusted in their own spirituality. They believed in their own religious beliefs, their own religious way of life so much that they actually didn't see a need for God. You know, people talk about being spiritual today and not being religious. And usually what that means is that you want and have your own definition of spirituality. And so you actually don't need God. What do you need God for when you get to define spirituality yourself? And he's talking about that route to happiness. When you define your own spirituality, instead of letting your Creator define it for you. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Pharisees were the religious elite of the time. Tax collectors in the Jewish society, they were the low people on the totem pole. Because you see, the tax collectors collected taxes for the Romans. And so they were the most despised people because the Jews were under the occupation of the Romans. And so here you have the most elite in society and the lowest person in society. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you know what? This is probably true. He tithed. He didn't extort people. He wasn't an adulterer. He was faithful to his wife. But this man isn't poor in spirit. He trusts his own spirituality. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saw himself as he came before the righteous God. He saw himself as someone who was poor, who needed God in his life, who needed God's forgiveness, who needed God's direction in his life. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Justified means he was able and given the privilege by God to come into a relationship with God. He was given the privilege to come into the presence of his Creator, of his Father. The Pharisee was walking around talking about how religious he was, how spiritual he was. This man realized that without God he was nothing, and God allowed him then to come into his presence. He says, this man rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We're talking about finding that perfect happiness today. And we're also offering you a very important free booklet. I'm going to take a minute here just to tell you about it. It's called What is Your Destiny? Now, I want you to understand this booklet is absolutely free. It will tell you about the plan God has for your life. Now, you can go online right now to beyondtoday.tv and read or order your free copy of What is Your Destiny? Or you can call toll free 1-888-886-8632. Now that's 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv, where you can also watch all the Beyond Today programs. Now remember, being poor in spirit doesn't mean you walk around feeling depressed and worthless, because when Jesus talks about being poor in spirit, he's talking about being happy. So he's talking about understanding the road to happiness, and you understand that by beginning to grasp your own spiritual poverty without God. One of my favorite people in history is Theodore Roosevelt. He's just a fascinating president to me, a fascinating person. One of Roosevelt's close friends, William Beebe, tells a story about how they were involved in a day of a very heated discussion. And that night, he and Teddy went outside and just stood there, and Theodore Roosevelt studied the majesty of the Milky Way. He said he just stood there for a long time. And after this long silence, Roosevelt turned to William Beebe and said, now I think we're small enough. Let's call it a night. Let's call it a night. We're small enough because we see the greatness of God. You see, the opposite of being poor in spirit is deciding this. It's my life. I can do with it whatever I want. You ever think that? It's my life. I can do with it whatever I want. Well, maybe that's why your life is in trouble. Jesus told another parable. Once again, if you have a Bible, turn to Luke 12. Luke 12, we're going to start here in verse 16. And I really encourage you to get a Bible and follow along when we go through these verses. Actually, let's start at verse 13 to pick up why he says this. One person came to Jesus out of this crowd and says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. But Jesus says to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So this is why he gives this next parable. It's because a person comes to him and says, Look, my brother, you know, is in charge of the inheritance. His father obviously died. And he says, he won't split it with me. And you need to tell him that it's right for him to split it with me. And Jesus said, Wait a minute, I'm not a judge. I'm not going to make this decision for you, but I am going to teach you a spiritual lesson. And the spiritual lesson is, don't covet what others have. And that leads into this story. Verse 16 says, Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and these I will store all my crops and my goods. He says, Then he said to himself, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, This man had lots of money, lots of things. His whole focus of life and his trust in happiness, this is how he defined his happiness, was the things he had, the money he had. Jesus says in verse 20, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' And Jesus says, 'So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now, the point of this parable isn't that all of us, you know, somehow get right with God if we all go give him a lot of money. That's not the point, being rich towards God. How are we rich towards God? We're rich towards God by giving him our lives, our time. We're rich towards God by giving ourselves to him. You see, this man in this parable is totally centered on doing what he wants in life, and he ignores God. Now, let me tell you something. You cannot ignore your Creator. You can hide. You can work and play so hard and pretend that he's not there. And you know what? You can act real religious without really relating to God in your everyday life and say, "Well, I define my own spirituality. I don't have to relate to God." But you know, eventually, every one of us, eventually you're going to have to come face to face with how short and ultimately how meaningless your life is without knowing your Creator. You know, I knew a man one time who thought that happiness would be quitting his job and moving his wife and children to a cave where he could hide from all his troubles. Have you ever thought that? You know, maybe money isn't what you think would make you happy. Maybe you think, "Well, if I could just go hide from my troubles, and if I could just go someplace where no one knows me, you know, go a desert island someplace." Well, you know, you can't hide from your troubles, and you can't hide from God. God is your Creator. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you. He also knows how your life is supposed to work. And until we turn towards him, we will continue to make this up. We will continue to make all these mistakes over and over and over again. So where do you start? Where do you go and start to understand and find real perfect happiness? We know we're talking about the Beatitudes. There's a whole list of attitudes there. There's a whole list of things you can do. We're just talking about this first one. This first attitude is poverty of spirit. How do you do that? Well, first of all, the first thing you need to do is get a quiet place, far from the hustle and bustle of life. See, your life is so busy. You're running through this life so fast. You know, a psychologist once called it the hurry disease. You're rushing through this life so fast. You're not taking time to have a relationship with your Creator, and therefore you're not taking time to discover perfect happiness. Take time. Cut out all the noise. Cut out all the hustle and bustle. And go someplace, like Teddy Roosevelt did, where you can just look at the creation. Look up at the sky. Look up at the universe that our God has created. Just look at the world around you. You say, "Well, I live in a city. I can't go out and look at the night sky." You know, go to a library and just go get one of those books that shows pictures from the telescopes of the awesome beauty of the universe. Just look at what God has created. Study it. Let all the other things go. Forget about all the hustle and bustle. Forget about the troubles. Forget about your finances. Forget about politics. Just look at what God does. And when you feel small enough, get on your knees and ask God to come into your life and teach you how life works. Once you acknowledge your poverty of spirit, once you understand that, God will bless you by teaching you the riches of the way of life he's designed for all of us to live. We're making this up. This isn't how he wants us to live. Once you've discovered that poverty of spirit, once you've gone to God and asked him to open your heart and mind, then go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. Not what somebody has told you, not what you've read, not what I have told you. Go get your Bible and turn to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Open your mind and open your heart and let Jesus Christ teach you about perfect happiness. We're going to be back in just a moment and talk more about how you can find real happiness in your life.
Is mankind destined to inherit and inhabit the entire universe, or will he end in a simple flash of the sun? Find out the spectacular truth you've never heard before explained in your free copy of What is Your Destiny? Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to find out. A mystery not known or believed today by religion or philosophy. Get your free copy of What is Your Destiny? Go to the web or call now. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Beyond Today. And by the way, when you order our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? We're going to send you a free subscription, 1 year subscription to the Good News Magazine. And this magazine has articles about daily life. It has articles about the Bible. And one thing I'll bring to your attention at the end, the last article in every issue is for young people. If you have a young person, a teenager, a young adult in your family that could use some encouragement and some instructions about finding perfect happiness, be sure and get your copy of the Good News Magazine. Well, it's time for our panel discussion. We have with us, of course, Steve Myers, pastor and regular presenter on the Beyond Today program, and of course, the editor of World News and Prophecy and also fellow Beyond Today presenter, Darris McNeely. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit," which sounds like an oxymoron, okay? So what did he mean, being blessed by being poor in spirit?
Well, a blessing, Gary, is a good thing. You know, it's like Martha Stewart says with her home decorating ideas, it's a good thing. A blessing is something that we desire, it is very desirable, and it is something that when it happens, it is a good thing to us. It's because we make a decision that is right. That, I think, is important for people to understand regarding the outline that Jesus gave here regarding these Beatitudes. It's up to us to make those decisions, and we have a responsibility to act in a positive manner in order for those blessings to take place. The Bible talks about blessings in many different ways. Blessings are passed on from one individual to the next, from a father to a son. And in some cases in the Bible, it is because a hand is laid upon another generation and a particular blessing or another good thing is passed on to people. And it has to revolve around the obedience and the action, the positive action that people take. So when Christ talked about blessings, he's talking about good things that happen when we make a positive decision.
And that decision causes us to have a certain attitude, a certain approach to life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, when you talk about poor in spirit, I think that Christ got very specific there, that poor in spirit isn't talking about finances. That's talking about your attitude. That's talking about humility. That's talking about the approach that you have to life. You're not haughty. You're not arrogant. You're not overbearing. And if you go through life like that, then the opposite is going to be true eventually. Now, maybe not immediately, but eventually, those that are not poor in spirit, those who are haughty, those who are overbearing, those who are self-indulgent, that's going to be a problem later on. So Christ said that his attitude, the right attitude, the beautiful attitude, is to have a humble approach to life.
You know, Christianity is supposed to be a life of adventure. It's not supposed to be drab and boring and depressing. It's supposed to be a way in which God shows us perfect happiness. And that's why these Beatitudes are so important. Jesus is pointing out to us how to have and find perfect happiness.
Yeah, life, I like the way you put that. Life is an adventure, and it is a story. God has put us into a story that is bigger than anything that we have been able to create in our own life. And when we step fully into that picture that God is making and building and creating around his plan and his purpose, the decisions that we make, what is opened up to an individual is a tremendous adventure and story that is beyond any human comprehension. And these attitudes, these spiritual guideposts are there for individuals to find their way within that story.
You know, the point you made that this is a decision, that these attitudes, we decide to look at life this way. So we're talking about poverty of spirit. Why is that so hard for us? It really is. It's hard for me. I think it's hard for people to come to grips with that deep poverty we have without God.
It's not a natural thing, is
it? No, it's not.
It's not a natural thing because we think we've got it all. We've got all the answers. Yeah. You know, we understand what's best for us rather than someone else, let alone God, telling us what to do. I think that's where the beginning has to start there. You know, what's my focus in life? Is it all about me? You know, that's basically many's approach to life. It's all about me. But in reality, Christ says the happiness doesn't start there.
It's that's so hard for us because we think happiness starts with me getting everything I want. Me, me, me. And when you find happiness starts with turning towards God, that's a whole different approach to life.
Being poor in spirit is very difficult for a person in America, in the West, to understand. We have been raised in a very affluent society. We have all we want, more than we could ever want. The poorest among us are rich by standards in other countries. And we are trained to want the best and to feel that we deserve the best. So to really develop a poverty of spirit or to be poor in spirit is totally alien to people in their thinking. I recently read about it, a report from an individual who I happen to know in Africa, in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe has been going through a great deal of inflation, hyperinflation. The corruption and problems within that African nation have really caused the economy to tank, and it's created quite a hardship on people. And a report that was passed along regarding an individual that I know in that country indicated that as he copes with it, he has to realize that through that poverty and the hardship that he's having to face, as he said, he is having to find and to discover the true riches of life and a spiritual richness of his life that he would not have found otherwise. And it's not something that you or I would desire to come upon us, nor would we necessarily desire to come on anyone else. But when a person finds themselves in that poverty and literal physical poverty and hardship, that is when this attitude can come to the fore to help us through it and learn something about ourselves and, most importantly, learn something about God and what he's doing.
It's almost like that because we are rich in this country, because we have so much, it keeps us from understanding our need for God. And
It sure does. We're so superficial.
Yeah.
We are so superficial in our country. We look at only the exterior of things. We look at a person's car that they drive or the house that they live in or their bank account or their suit or whatever it may be. And it is so superficial, we don't deeply think about what happiness really is. It's not something on the surface. It's none of those things. It's deep inside. It's a deep-seated happiness, an understanding of why was I born? What is my purpose in life? And I think those are the questions that really get to the heart of things. Right. It's a spiritual thing. It's a relationship with God. It's having purpose and understanding that purpose.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that until they're close to death. That if people can ask these questions and go to God early in life, they can find this happiness a whole lot earlier than waiting towards the end.
People usually find those questions on the other side of 60, let's say, and when they're faced with their own mortality, and then have to really come to face with these critical questions, which, like you say, are much better understood earlier in life. And when that happens, it does make a big difference in how people live and coming up to the measure of these particular statements of Christ.
You know, Jesus talked about that when you're poor in spirit, you will get the kingdom of heaven. How do we now make this practical? How do we visualize that kingdom so that every day, right now, today, we can see that kingdom and that helps motivate us and teaches us happiness? So how do we do that? How does a person be motivated towards that goal by seeing and visualizing that kingdom today?
Well, I think by understanding, first of all, that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven that the Bible talks about is a literal kingdom that the Bible says will be brought to this earth. And when you become a Christian, God begins to work with us according to the terms and the conditions, the teachings and the laws of that kingdom. And that means we have to begin to live by those standards and those laws.
And he sets
today.
Those standards.
And he sets those standards. We don't have the choice. They're contained in the Bible. And as we begin to translate that into our lives today, into our daily lives, we begin to live the values of that coming kingdom today and in preparation for what God is going to bring to this earth and the world tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, that it's not just some vague kind of thing out there that people imagine heaven to be, because that's not the case. Christ preached the kingdom of God, a reality. It was a reality. And if you begin to look at life from that realistic point of view, then that changes what you do. It changes your perspective. It changes who you are deep down inside, that you begin to understand that there is more to life than things. Yeah. It's more than that. There's a relationship that I need to have with my Creator. And if we begin to do that, then it's going to change our life. We're going to find out what it means to be a doer of the Word. We're going to find out, what did Jesus Christ mean when He said, follow Me? Follow Me. We were supposed to do what He did. Live as He lived. Walk as He walked, as the Bible says. And so that changes it to become a reality in our life. And God's kingdom needs to be that.
Gary, a poverty of spirit doesn't have to always translate into poverty of things or lifestyle.
God doesn't say it's wrong to have things.
That's not what God's talking about. Poverty of spirit comes when we come to the point where we begin to understand how to handle the things of life. The things that we want to have and accumulate, that we do put value in, whether it's a property, a home, people, or all the other gadgets and toys and things that we gather in life, we come to understand how to use those things. And when we learn to use them to honor God, to serve God, and to further His purpose and plan, then we truly understand that concept of being poor in spirit, because we know that all that we have been given is from God, and it should be used to His glory.
You know, really what this comes down to is understanding and accepting that there's a Creator of life. He knows how life works, and He designed it to be happy. But we've messed this up so bad. And we need to go to Him and have Him teach us how to live.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that God as Creator said, this is the way to happiness. And so oftentimes people want to turn their back on that, and they want to try to find their own means to happiness, when God laid it out so clearly. He gave us 10 commandments that we're supposed to live by. And by keeping those commandments and doing His will, it's the level of happiness that we achieve is found through God.
We're going to be back to discuss more about finding happiness right after this.
Is mankind destined to inherit and inhabit the entire universe, or will he end in a simple flash of the sun? Find out the spectacular truth you've never heard before explained in your free copy of What Is Your Destiny? Go to beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632 to find out. A mystery not known or believed today by religion or philosophy. Get your free copy of What Is Your Destiny? Go to the web or call now.
Do you want to find perfect happiness? Well, let's go back to the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In Luke 18, remember, Jesus said that the reason He gave this parable was because of people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You can never really trust that the spiritual solutions to life come from inside yourself. They come from the Creator of life. The Pharisee represented the religious elite, the tax collector, the despised of society. The Pharisee took great pride in his own definition of spiritual enlightenment. The tax collector simply recognized his spiritual poverty with God. In the end, it was the tax collector who was blessed by God. It's not easy to recognize your spiritual poverty without God. We're like little children yelling at an adult, "Me do it, me do it." Much of the time, it's only after we fail that we finally are willing to say to God, "Father, You must show me how to live." You can't solve your problems by applying the same old solutions. You'll simply arrive at the same old problems. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.